got a question for you to consider. How does the area in which you live influence your creativity? Well, if you're not quite sure of that, there are a lot of different answers to it, and that's the premise the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra is currently exploring with a special series of concerts called West Side Connections. They're also doing an incredible concert later this month. First of all, the West Side Connections concert. First one comes up 1 week from tonight. Joining me right now is Nicolette Atkins, Director of Marketing for the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. Now, Nicolette has a unique perspective on classical music and performing arts. She trained as a ballet dancer and worked in arts administration in her native South Africa. We're going to be talking today about the LACO series called West Side Connections, as well as that very different program to which I just made reference in Pasadena on February 22nd, where they take a close look at something that amazes most of us. Nicolette, welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Great to be with you.
It is great to have you. First of all, how did you first get introduced to classical music through performance?
Well, I trained as a classical ballet dancer, and so obviously a lot of the music that we listen to and that we perform to and that we rehearse to is classical music, and so my love for classical music grew from there, and I also heard a lot of classical music in my home. My parents both loved classical music, so there were records in those old days that we listened to.
What do you remember best from your own time as a ballet dancer? And we should also mention that you currently teach ballet.
Yes, I do. I think that my favorite piece is Mozart Fantasia in D that my teacher choreographed a solo to for me once. And I really listened to that piece over and over and over and over again until I felt it was inside my body. As opposed to something that was outside of me. And so that's something that I continue to do, and I continue to encourage my dance students to listen to music that way. And when I know we are performing a piece, that's what I like to feel the music inside my body.
I've just heard you say, as an artist, make the music become a part of you and a part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember very best then with that kind of an experience from getting to attend the cultural events all over the world while you were a flight attendant, which happened, I understand, after that?
Yes. Well, that was a great opportunity for me because obviously South Africa is a long way away from Europe and from the Americas, and it's pretty isolated, certainly was in those days. So flying around the world, we were very lucky. We had 3 or 4 days off in each of the places that we visited. And because my interest had always been the arts, I would go to classical music performances or ballet or theater and just try and absorb the culture that I was witnessing and draw comparisons between the things that I saw in the different countries and what I had experienced in my home country, where, of course, we had a wealth of African cultures alongside Western cultures as well.
What did you love very best from what you saw outside of your home country that you would bring back with you?
Well, my focus really was ballet always, so that was the thing that struck me over and over again. I think at the time I would go to the Royal Ballet at Covent Garden. We did a lot of flights to London, and so I think I was probably there at least once a month, and I got to know the dancers as an audience member, obviously, not as a personally, but I got to know those dancers, and I followed their careers, and that was the thing that stuck with me. And whenever the Royal Ballet comes to tour here in Los Angeles, I'm just delighted because I love the company.
They are breathtaking. I've seen them perform. Before mm-hmm. we get to talking about what's happening with the LA Chamber Orchestra, I'd love to know a little bit more about the 5-venue performing arts complex that you launched while you were living and working in South Africa. What was one of your favorite experiences in that capacity?
Well, this one is kind of a funny story. We were restoring an old movie house called the Playhouse. And it had been very popular during the Second World War as the ships came from Europe and were going to the East as part of the war efforts. A lot of the ships would dock at Durban, which is the city I was living in at the time, on the Indian Ocean. And the slogan was "Meet you at the Playhouse," because people would go to the movies there, and that was the slogan during the war years. And we made it our slogan when we were restoring the theater as well. And we turned it into one big theater that we auditorium that we used for ballet performances, the orchestra, and then we had a smaller theater for drama performances. We had a cellar where we did cabaret style things. We had a small venue where we did chamber music, and I'm completely forgetting what the other one was now. I guess it's been a little while. But the exciting thing was that we were supposed to open in December. And as you know, these things always take longer than you hope they will. But we had contracted to do the Joseph Papp Pirates of Penzance production. And so when we realized the theater wasn't going to be ready in December, but we had the contract for this production, we didn't want to let it go to waste. So we turned it into what we called a hard hat production. And only the bottom part of the auditorium was available. The upstairs balconies were not ready yet. The stage itself was ready, so that was great. And on the opening night of this hard hat production of Pirates of Penzance, when the audience arrived, there was no bar. But when they come out at an intermission, we had completed the bar. We finished it while the first act was going on.
I love that, bar in progress during Act One.
Yeah.
Besides resourcefulness and going with the punches, what of the lessons that you learned from your own professional experiences here was one of your favorite that you brought to your work with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra?
You know, the great thing about the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra is the intimacy of the experience. And I believe that it flows from the stage into the audience. And it comes out of our chamber music roots. The chamber orchestra, different from a symphony orchestra, every musician on stage is an individual, and they can all of their playing can be heard. You cannot hide in a chamber orchestra. And it's very, you know, again, it comes out of chamber music performance. We do orchestral music, but we sometimes, you know, we only have maybe 6 violins playing, 2 basses, where in a big symphony orchestra you would have 10 to 14 violins playing and maybe 6 basses and, you know, 5 clarinets. We may have 2 clarinets. So everybody is heard and heard very clearly, and it's really important that everybody be on their game. We hire virtuoso musicians that are soloists around the country during the summer season, during the summer festival season. But they love to play with us because it gives them this opportunity to work as comrades and to work as an ensemble. And their love of the music and their love of playing together and the way they watch each other and are very attentive, that flows into the organization and into the audience. And I think for me, the great lesson in life is that you need to, you know, everybody counts, everybody is important, everybody's contribution makes a difference. And I see that on stage with our musicians, and I see that in the organization amongst the staff. We're a pretty small staff, and we help each other all the time. We laugh a lot. We cry. I have a little, what I call my monkey. It looks like a monkey, and it makes this terrible monkey cry. And when I'm getting really frustrated about something, I squeeze my monkey, and people will come running from the other offices to check and see what my latest mishap is. But it's that sense of family and intimacy and sharing and working together and everybody being important and everybody's contribution counting, that it's a life lesson. It's not just a performance. It's not just something that happens on stage. It's true for all of us. So that's probably my most important memory from the chamber orchestra.
And monkey moments notwithstanding, there's some great things coming up with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. We may have to come back after our break, but I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about the West Side Connections concert series that's coming up starting next week.
Well, whenever you're ready, I'm happy to
How's
talk
now?
About it. It's going to be exciting.
Yes. What's the first one?
The first one is next Thursday evening, February the 13th, so the day before Valentine's Day. And Arnold Steinhardt, who is the founding member and first violin of the Guarneri Quartet, is our special guest. And he will be talking about his experience growing up in Los Angeles in the 1930s as part of the emigre community that also included people like Stravinsky, Korngold, Arthur Rubinstein, Piotr Tchaikovsky, all these famous names that we think of as being, you know, icons and legends. Here they were in L.A., and they were writing music and making music, and Arnold tells a fantastic story. He had come back from college to his hometown, L.A., and needed to learn the Stravinsky Violin Concerto, so he called up his teacher here and said, you know, I really need some help understanding this piece, and can you think of someone I can coach with while I'm in L.A. for my vacation? And the teacher said, yeah, I think I can find someone, but let me call you back. And she called back probably, you know, within an hour and said to Arnold, yes, I found the perfect person. And he said, oh, well, and who is this? And he said, well, it's Mr. Stravinsky himself. He's happy to work with you. And here's his phone number. He's waiting for your call. So if you would call him right now, that would be terrific. And Arnold said, I called him up, and he answered the phone and invited me over to his house and said, yeah, you know, just come on by. And my mother was determined that she would take me and drop me off because she wanted to see this. And he opened the door, ushered me in, gave me a recording that he had made of the Stravinsky Concerto, and told me that I could have it. I could listen to it and have it, and that it was probably the best way he could help me to learn this piece. And we had a wonderful conversation, but he was just as down to earth and as helpful as could be. And I was so startled. I went with it, and I learned a great deal from that record. And he said, you know, when you're done and you're ready to go back to college, just call me up, and you can just bring it on by, drop it off for me, which is what he did. And, here it is, probably 40, 50, 60 years later, and he's still remembering that wonderful story, and he's going to share that story and other experiences that he had in Los Angeles that helped to shape him as a musician with us as part of the discussion portion of our West Side Connections Chamber Music Series next Thursday night.